Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is Vasudeva considering. As long as he has intelligence and bodily strength, an intelligent person must try to avoid death. This is the duty of every embodied person. But if death cannot be avoided in spite of one's endeavors, a person facing death commits no offense. Replied by Srila Prabhupada. It is natural for a person facing untimely death to try his best to save himself. This is one's duty. Although death is sure, everyone should try to avoid it and not meet death without opposition, because every living soul is by nature eternal. Because death is a punishment imposed on the condemned life of material existence, the Vedic culture is based on avoiding death. Chakvadehan punarjanmanaiti. Everyone should try to avoid death and rebirth by cultivating spiritual life, and should not submit to death without struggling to survive. One who is not trying to stop death is not an intelligent human being. Because Devaki was to face with imminent death, it was Vasudeva's duty to save her, as he was trying his best to do. He therefore considered another way to approach Kamsa, so that Devaki would be saved. So this is when Devaki was, and Vasudeva, after their marriage, they were being driven in a royal chariot to their palace of Vasudeva, by Devaki's brother Kamsa. But while this was happening, there was a voice from the sky that spoke, saying that Kamsa was driving as the very chivalrous brother, driving, even though he's the emperor, the king. He's firstly driving the chariot for his sister and brother-in-law. Then there was this voice from the sky. Pati pragra hinam kamsam abhashaha sadhiralak asyatvam ashtamo garbo hantayam vahase buddha. While Kamsa, controlling the reins of the horses, was driving the chariot along the way, an unembodied voice addressed him. You foolish animal! The eighth child of the woman you are carrying will kill you! Ashtamo garbha, referring to the eighth pregnancy. Devaki was feeling glad that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was going to appear in her womb. But Kamsa wasn't feeling too good. Kamsa was a condemned personality in the Bhoja dynasty because he was envious and sinful. Therefore, upon hearing this omen from the sky, he caught hold of his sister's hair with his left hand, took up his sword with his right hand to sever her head from her body. Wanting to pacify Kamsa, who was so cruel and envious that he was shamelessly ready to kill his sister, the great soul Vasudeva, who was to be the father of Krishna, spoke to him in the following words. So then he tried to pacify him. Why, it's not such a good idea to kill your sister. It wouldn't be very good for your reputation. Anyway, why are you worrying about it? Everybody has to die anyway. The body anyway is going to turn into dust, from dust to dust. So nothing to worry about. Besides, I preach to him, you know, but this preaching is not proving very effective. Kamsa is not so spiritually oriented. That's when we get up to the verse we read today. Sukadeva Goswami continued. O best of the Kuru dynasty, Kamsa was fiercely cruel and was acting as a follower of the Rakshasas. Therefore, he could be neither pacified nor terrified by the good instructions given by Vasudeva. He did not care about the results of sinful activities, either in this life or in the next. So that's why then Vasudeva was thinking of another plan. This talking to him wasn't working. The Vedas, they say, to make some political, diplomatic resolution, there's Sama, Dana, Veda, and Danda. You understand? Sama means sweet words. Dana means something you're giving, practically. Veda means divide and rule. British were expert at that. They divided India, right? Then, Danda means by force. So the Sama wasn't working, so then he thought, I have to give something to Kamsa. So he thought, if I promise him, I'll give him all my babies. Then he may be pacified. Anyway, who knows how long Kamsa is going to live anyway, or whether anything could happen. At least let's get out of this immediate danger. Sometimes there's a fire and leaves over one house and burns another house, or leaves over one wood and burns another wood. Recently around the world there was a lot of fires in California, in Greece. But some houses, like the whole village was burned down, 12 houses didn't get burned. Why is that? Why? Destiny. Destiny. Providence. Adishtata. Unseen providence. When we take one body, we leave it, we take another body, that's our providence. It's our destiny. So then Vasudeva submitted his proposal to Kamsa. He's actually feeling very great stress, anxiety, because his wife was facing immediate death. But in order to please the cruel, shameless, sinful Kamsa, he externally smiled. Sri Vasudeva Uvacha Nahasyaste Bhayam Somya Yadvai Sahasariravak Putram Samar Prayishyesya Yadaste Bhayamuttitam. Vasudeva said, O best of the sober, you have nothing to fear from your sister Devaki because of what you have heard from the unseen omen. The cause of death will be her sons. Therefore I promise that when she gives birth to the sons from whom your fear has arisen, I shall deliver them all unto your hands. So Kamsa was afraid because in 8th pregnancy a son would be born who would kill him. But Vasudeva said, I'll give you all the sons. A very liberal proposal. What to do? He had to do something in order to save his wife. Because Vasudeva was so honest, because Vasudeva never told a lie, he was known as Satyavak. Satya means what? Truth. Satyavak always speaks the truth. Very hard to find anybody in this world who always speaks the truth. Sometimes someone might tell a fib out of fear. But Vasudev, he was Satyavak. Always told the truth. So even Kamsa believed that Vasudev wouldn't deviate from his word. That's the character of a devotee. Prabhupada says, the character of a pure devotee like Vasudev is such that even so great a demon as Kamsa firmly believed in his words and was satisfied. All good attributes are present in the devotee, so much so that even Kamsa believed in Vasudeva's words without a doubt. So every year they had a new baby. They were all given to Kamsa. The first time Kamsa took the baby, gave it back. When he went to the eighth child, what do I do with this one? But then his ministers and Narada Muni wanted to have Krishna born faster. So then they advised him, anyway, how do you know that this oracle is correct? If it was not the eighth, maybe it's the first, the second. So they went back and killed the child. So the first six children were killed. Who's the seventh child? Balarama. And she was transferred by Jogamaya to the womb of Rohini. Therefore he became known as Rohini Sutta, Rohini Nandana, Rohini Kumar, Rohini Dulal. So they thought that the seventh child was miscarriage because she was pregnant and somehow gone. So that way Balaram is also a brother of Krishna, both from Devaki, from Vasudeva. So here it says, Devaki bore eight sons and a daughter named Subhadra. Sometimes people ask about Subhadra. So here it says, Putram prasu shuve chashtau konyam chayvanu vatsaram. Eight boys and one girl named Subhadra. So Subhadra is Devaki's daughter. Devaki and Vasudev, Krishna's sister. Georgia in my mind. Krishna in my mind. I have a few on my mobile phone. I have a few ringtones of bhajans. Oh. Anybody needs? I have a disciple. He's a professional ringtone maker in Bangalore. So I uploaded a few. Everyone in Bangalore has all the samsara dava, you know, ringtones and namaste, namaste, right? So that's it. So today is a very holy appearance day of Lord Krishna. Krishna is the avatari, he is the source of all the avatars. He comes once in the day of Brahma. Brahma's day is 1,000 yugas, which works out to about 4,340,000 years. And He comes in the 27th Kali Yuga, Dwapara Yuga. 27th or 28th. Which out of the 1,000, so it's kind of in the beginning portion. And there's again a Brahma's night is another 4 billion years. And then So then we're very fortunate. It's only 5,000 years ago he appeared. We still have a lot of information about Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is there. Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna. With 521 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, who was also Krishna, but he came as a devotee to teach us about Krishna. And here comes up, was threatening the life of Devaki, so Vasudeva was thinking how he can save his wife. We should try to save ourselves. There that Krishna, he promises in the Bhagavad Gita, anyone knows about the transcendental nature of his appearance, of his activities, janma karma samedibhyam evam yo vedi tattvata tyaktam deham punar janma naiti mame iti sarjuna. That somebody knows about the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and his activities and the time when they leave their body, they don't have to take birth again. They can go back to Krishna. So today is a very important day. We should be focusing on Krishna. His appearance, his activities, how they're all transcendental. We are born in the material world, we don't have a choice. It's not like we select from some kind of a Sears catalog or something. Who's going to be our mother or father? That's our destiny. But we can choose whether we want to be born again or not. So we surrender to Krishna and we go back to Krishna. And in the cycle of birth and death. So we follow Vasudeva's principle that everyone should try to save their life, then we should try to save our lives. Otherwise we'll die, be born again, die, born again, die, born again, go on and on. Now we have this great opportunity of having a human form of life. We're able to achieve Krishna. Krishna says if you surrender to him, he'll protect you from all the previous karmas, sinful reactions, and bring you back to him. Or if you become a devotee of Krishna, Matmanava Matbhakto Matyaji Mang Namas Guru Mangi Vaisasi Satyam Te Pratijano Pinoshi Me. Be a devotee of Krishna, think of Krishna, worship Krishna, offer obeisances to Krishna, and Krishna said we'll definitely come to him. We're not supposed to give this information to the envious people, to the non-devotees. Anyway, all of you are here today, definitely you're all devotees, so this is very confidential information. Take shelter of Krishna. They'll go back to Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he sent out his followers door to door and asked them to beg from the people. Bolo Krishna, Bojo Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shikha. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bolo Krishna, Bojo Krishna, worship Krishna. and study Krishna's teachings. So Gita and Bhagavatam, Prabhupada Gita is spoken by Krishna, Bhagavatam is spoken about Krishna. Somewhere I was just in Melbourne, Australia. We're reading from the 10th canto, many chapters down the line, where Krishna is invited to Mathura. And there, Kamsa sets it up that Krishna and Balaram will fight with two professional wrestlers, Chanura and Mustika. And their assignment was they should beat Krishna so badly that he would die. Kill Krishna and Balaram. So they were reading how, I forget which one was fighting with Krishna, Chanura?
So one of them, probably Yakarna Krishna, the Mustika,
he went and he smashed Krishna as hard as he could on his chest. And didn't affect Krishna. That was saying something interesting. Krishna Balaram, one of them said they kicked him with his, kicked him. It was kind of, they kicked him to the head or to the chest. It was kind of like a karate move. I picked that up in the Vedic time, they also were using feet for fighting. It was there in Sanskrit, they gave him a kick, a blow, kick. Blow with his foot. And then that caused the wrestler to die. And the other wrestler attacked Balaram. Same thing. And just smashed Balaram. It didn't have any effect. Balaram gave him a little started coughing up blood and fell down. Then there were other wrestlers. I forget the names now, but one after another, they were also sent. Like Kamsa, he had a backup plan. These wrestlers failed and the other ones were killing. So they went and they also attacked Krishna. They were like one after another and they were all defeated. And finally the rest of the wrestlers who were supposed to go and attack when they saw everybody's being killed, they got frightened and ran off. Then Kamsa, he said, "What is this? I want you to kill Vasudeva and Devaki. Kill Krishna and Balaram. They're all trickers. They've snuck in here using treachery and trickery. They're defying and killed these nice innocent wrestlers. They're not loyal to me." It's like this, he ordered his soldiers to go and kill him. But then Krishna jumped up on the, from the, he was in the stadium. Kamsa was really high up in the king's, not throne, that's, you know, like the, you know, in the, you know, where the, you know, yeah, box seat, special royal box for the royal family. He was there giving all these things. So Krishna got really angry. He's trying to kill his mother, kill his father, kill everybody, kill Krishna. So Krishna just jumped up all the way up into the box. Grabbed. Then Kamsa pulls out his sword to fight with him. So he goes to strike Krishna with the sword. Krishna moves to the side, grabs his hand, pulls him down, grabs his hair, drags him over to the boxing arena by the hair and he starts punching him. Because he, anyway, was predicted he would be the only one to kill Kamsa. But so then other brothers of Kamsa, some other relatives, the sons, they all came out. We're going to attack Krishna. And Krishna and I killed them, not relatives today. So that Balaram wasn't, because Balaram was from Rohini. So technically not a relative of, I mean not direct, like uncle, Kamsa's brothers. So let Balaram finish off the rest. He's not supposed to normally kill your uncle, but Krishna was predicted, so he had to do it. Then it said that many people, when it happened, many people cheered. They were very happy that Kamsa was killed. He was such a tyrant. But then some of the wives, the relatives, they were also lamenting. So anyway, somehow there was a huge hue and cry in the stadium, either rejoicing or lamenting. And everybody was expressing some emotion. Some of the relatives that come and said, "You are very cruel. So this is what you get." So 16 years later, Kamsa is liberated. And said, well, because Kamsa was uncle of Krishna, he got liberated, he got Sarupa city in the spiritual world, he got a spiritual form. It's very rare. Normally the demons we kill, they just go into the Jyoti. But he said, specifically said that he got the Sarupa city, he got transcendental Satchinananda form. He was always thinking about Krishna. He was completely Krishna conscious in a negative sense. So one day, his two queens came, one dressed in a white sari, one dressed in a black sari. And when Shuni saw white and black, he freaked out, told us all, kill him, Krishna Balarama, come! He looked, he saw it was his wives, you know, his queens. This is your queens, Maharaj. Oh. So he was always had Krishna in his mind. Upset. Of course, and then he always tried to kill Krishna, so ultimately Krishna had to kill him. So today is the day when Krishna appears at midnight. Doesn't need to be the bright moon or anything. Usually the Lord appears on Purnimas. But Krishna comes, he's also in the moon dynasty, so he's like the moon is already there. He's more brilliant than the moon, Krishna Chandra. Millions of moons. So Krishna comes, Paditjanaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chaduskritam to please his devotees and annihilate the miscreants. Mainly to please his devotees. He could annihilate the miscreants with others, but then once he comes, he does that too. But the main thing is to please his devotees. The Brajavasis, they could enjoy Krishna's childhood pastimes. I was just in Trivandrum for a health retreat. Because Trivandrum is also considered a holy abode. Because Tiruvananthapuram Dev, Krishna is there in his Garbhodakshaya Vishnu form. Since I got a curse that I can't stay in any place more than a few days, Prabhupada gave me the curse. But where the holy abodes are, the curses don't take effect. So this is one of the eight abodes. It says here in Tiruvananthapuram, the Lord is in his yoga nidra mood. He's from his navel, when the Brahma is born. This is his yoga nidra pastime. He's always sleeping there. They said Vrindavan Krishna is always a child, having childhood pastimes. And Badrinath, he's always meditating. And Jagannath Puri, he's always eating. When he was in Sloss, he never wants your hand to get dry from eating. Before he can, after washing his hand, before he can dry again, another 56 offerings a day. Chapanna Bhog. So Mayapur, the Lord is always there as his devotee. And Dwarka is always the king. So like this in the different abodes, he's always having these different pastimes. So the Vrindavan is in the childhood pastime, youthful pastime. It's a very attractive. But there are devotees who are waiting, they won't be happy if anybody else comes. Just like when the gopis were looking for Krishna, and Krishna was sitting on a rock. And then the gopis, there's Krishna! He couldn't hide, he'd already spotted him from the distance. But he changed his form into Narayana. So the gopis got closer and they saw, it's Narayana. Normally, you think they'd be very happy. But they're looking for Krishna. Even Narayana doesn't satisfy them. They pay their pranam. Where is Krishna Narayana? Pointing that way. One after another they went. When Radharani came, she pleaded, where is my beloved Krishna? In such a loving way. And Krishna couldn't maintain his four-handed form. Two hands kept disappearing. And then he got exposed. But Krishna's devotees are not happy, they're not satisfied with anyone else. They want Krishna. Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Krishna Kirtanaya Sangha becomes specially to please his devotees, to deliver his devotees. Right now, somewhere in the Anantakoti Brahmandas, in the unlimited millions of universes, somewhere. Krishna's pastimes are going on. It says that those who want to be in Krishna's lila, they can go to that universe where Krishna is having his pastimes and get integrated with the pastimes there. And from there, then they go back to Golok Vrindavan. Because in Vrindavan, nobody thinking that Krishna is God. They just love Krishna as their friend, their lover, their son. They're not, in order to get integrated like that. If you go to Vaikuntha, then you know that Narayana is God. So that's difficult. But then you'll have that idea if you go from Vaikuntha to Vrindavan, to Golok Vrindavan, that Krishna is God, and you'll be very having a form of awe and respect. Where in Vrindavan, everybody is very familiar with Krishna. And Krishna likes that. Intimacy. Formality gives a certain distance. Therefore, in order to get to Golok Vrindavan, you have to go via Bhoma Vrindavan. The Vrindavan in the earthly sphere. So Devaki, Vasudeva, so they were previously doing tapasya to have a son like Vishnu. And Vishnu said, there's nobody like me. Therefore I have to become your son. So I'll become your son three times. So here's the third time. That's why Krishna also showed his four-handed form when he appeared in a prison house. So according to the Smarta system, sometimes Janmashtami is a day earlier. And according to the Goswami calculations of the TTs, it's today. So many Hindus observed Janmashtami yesterday. Some temples, they have a two-day program. So that the people who think it's yesterday come and they'll also find something going on. But according to our calculations, at Janmashtami, today is the Ashtami. So we fast until midnight. Devotees, except pregnant ladies and nursing mothers who shouldn't fast, because they're eating for two. Prabhupada was saying, oh, Radharani is more merciful. She appears at midday. They have to fast till noon. Krishna makes us fast till midnight. Many people who come here, well, they don't fast, so we should have some prasadam for them. The Prabhupada said that sometime in the Panchika, in this calendar, it says that every day appearance day of Vishnu, you can do a full fast. Meaning that you fast totally until their appearance, and after that you don't take no grains. Like an Akadasi type thing. The Prabhupada said that that's an optional thing for us. But in Krishna's and appearance day, which in Krishna and Gaurangas, then we observe that. So Mayapur we also have for the devotees, this is called Anukalpa. This kind of non-grain breakfast at midnight, and just take one grain in the morning to break the fast, and then, because tomorrow is also Prabhupada's appearance, another fast until noon. Then we take a feast. And here tomorrow you have the program in the evening?
Yes.
Or double program?
No, we have it at 4 o'clock.
When's prasadam?
7:38.
Supposed to be at the prasadam at noon.
And normally the feast is midnight, everybody just gets everything. Everyone just takes a whole feast at midnight. No, no. Devotees, yes.
Oh, here.
Atlanta has a special provision.
All the details haven't worked out.
That part's already done.
The time of year? We can do two. We can do a noon and a noon. So we've always been coming to the end.
Tomorrow is also called Nanda Utsav. Nanda Maharaj is having a festival because he has a nice son. So he has a big feast for everybody at noon, and the Gaurikavai goes on right to the evening. But it's supposed to be a big feast offered at noon. Sanandini? Who's your friend? Didi. Didi means big sister. Nice. So Didi's from America or also from Holland or somewhere?
No, I'm from here.
Does anyone ask a question or a comment you'd like to make?
In the Krishna book, actually, about the message when Arjuna, Vishnu stole, still in the sons of the Brahman. So Arjuna met Krishna. Travel to see Vishnu to bring the sons back. And he says there, Vishnu says to Krishna, you are my incarnation. fight a lot of the Hindus. See, Vishnu is the supreme because he says right here.
You have that verse?
I have it with me right here. So Vishnu is the supreme.
Lord Chaitanya had many debates about that. And he said, if Vishnu is supreme, why is Lakshmi going to Pasya to get into the Rasa Lila? And why, even after doing penances and austerities to get into the Rasa Lila, why she was refused? Vishnu is supreme and she is the consort of the supreme, then she shouldn't have to do any tapasya to go anywhere she wants to go. Also in the Yashiva Puran it says that the 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to one name of Ram, and 3,000 names of Vishnu is equal to one name of Krishna. The point is that Vishnu, Krishna, they're all the same in the sense that they're not different. They're spiritual supreme personality in different forms, but Krishna is the original form. Krishna is still by the one Swayam.
Before taking birth, with the appearance, why he gives so much the suffering to his parents, like Devaki and Vasudev suffer a lot. What's the reason? He can appear like
there's a verse says that the more you rub sandalwood, the more the sweet smell comes. The more you burn gold, the more brilliant it becomes. The more you smash sugar cane, the more the sweet juice comes out. Things like that, the more you put the Vaishnavas to test, it reveals their great qualities. You wouldn't know how great Vasudeva was, everything was so easy. Krishna, he shows that how Vasudeva, how he has so much presence of mind, convincing Kamsa to save his wife. Even after Krishna appears, Vasudeva is facing difficulties. So, to the devotee, when they're put in so many tests, even the test of death, but then they pass all the tests and they go back to Krishna. So sometimes the devotees are put to tests. Reveals their greatness. Kunti Devi, she was put to so many tests, and then she, when they made the prayers to Krishna, that you always put us in difficulty, but we always got your association, we take shelter of you. Now all the problems are solved, and now you're leaving us. So we get your association by your, by being put in difficulty, better I'm in difficulty. And have your association. Last question from a lady. Didi?
Where are you from?
Mayapur.
Where?
What do you say? How far back do you want to go? This line, previous? I was born in ISKCON. I was born in Wisconsin, so ISKCON is there. Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Then I went to school in Rhode Island, and then I met the devotees in San Francisco. And I went to meet Prabhupada in Canada, and I became a landed immigrant in Canada in 1968. And then from Canada, I was sent to India in 1970. So since 1970, I've been in India for 37 years.
Bravo!
So now I'm an Indian citizen. I guess now I'm from India. The guy was asking me in San Francisco, why do you have a green card? I'm born in America. I was also practicing yoga, different yogas, and then I thought I needed a guru. I was going to go to India to find a guru because the ones I met in California didn't impress me too much. And then somehow I met the devotees and I was engaged in some devotional service, building a chariot for the big procession they had. And then like that I became really inspired by what I saw by Bhakti Yoga. I wanted to go to meet Prabhupada since the Guru was in North America, he was in Canada. So I went to Montreal and saw Prabhupada there, and then told him I was thinking about going to India to find the Guru. Then I found him. He said, yes, you stay here with me, I'll personally train you and I'll send you to India later.